Well, it is Wednesday the 10th of February, and guess who's back in the studio with us? The Big Sports Breakfast weekend host, co-host with the great Ray Thomas from the Daily Telegraph about to join us. Have we got his intro in season 2021? Nah, we'll just bring him straight in. Dean Bulldog Richie, how are you going?
Good morning, Mido, Clarkie, Loz.
Morning, buddy.
Morning, Bulldog. How was it being back on air on Sunday?
It was good. Yeah, we had a good show. We had a bit of NFL and a bit of league and a bit of racing. We think we ticked off all the boxes, and rugby league is now only a few weeks away, guys. And gee, it's come round quick, hasn't it, Clarkie? When you think about the cricket season, we're all warming up for it, and it's come and gone. And
I said to Loz yesterday that I was, it's sort of that last day of the last test for me, that natural transition just happens where I go, rightio, footy season, bring on footy season. But yeah, the summer just, it's just flown. You know, it's test matches against India and all the talk leading up to, you know, what Channel 7, the dispute with Cricket Australia. Oh, it's gone so quickly. So, yeah, I'm ready for it though, Bulldog. Bring on footy season. I sit here with my fingers and toes crossed that the Tigers can get into that top eight.
How many times do you go back and watch Clarkie's Triple Ton on KO?
Well, I've come in the last 5 weeks it's been on in the background. And Clarkie's got his back turned to me, so. Loz, what'd you make of the Super Bowl?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, actually, so did Bulldog. I
thought it was good. Only the fact that the game itself wasn't a great game.
It's crap.
But with Tom Brady winning, it was unbelievable to witness something very special happening in front of our eyes, because I think most people thought Kansas City were going to win. They weren't that great throughout the year, Tampa Bay, but they got on a roll towards the back end of the season, and it just showed you and confirmed to you how great a player Tom Brady is. Mm. We all see him as the greatest of all time, but now that he's won his seventh Super Bowl, that's you never say records will never get broken, but that'll be something that'll be hard to beat. It certainly won't be. We won't see it in our lifetime again.
They were debating in America yesterday that Jordan had won six rings. Mm. So Brady's actually gone past Jordan. If you want to start up who is the greatest of all time in any sport debate,
the only thing
Brady
I said
now
about,
can lay claims to being the greatest ever.
The only thing I said on Tuesday or yesterday was the fact that because it's only played in a limited number of countries, NFL, you know, it's not played all around the world, say, like a basketball is. So given that it's limited, you'd still think that a guy like Jordan would possibly still be there, given there's so many players from around the world that play basketball compared to the limited number that just play NFL.
Good point. Let's get into the NRL. What's this, Bulldog, about Samoan stars revolting against Matt Parrish? What's this story?
Yeah, it's a really interesting story, Mido. The Samoan players signed a letter, which they actually sent to the Samoan Prime Minister, seeking the removal of Matt as coach. Laurie, you've worked with Matt very closely.
He's a great mate of mine.
And I know
he's
Matt.
He's a great mate of mine, and he's a very, very good coach. So I find this strange, but I don't know the story. The first I've heard
of it. Yeah, the players that signed it included Anthony Milford, Jerome Luai, Papali, Josh Alloway, BJ Leilua. But Matt seems to have the support of Samoan Rugby League. The Prime Minister basically told the players that they were being disrespectful. And then Matt, I spoke to yesterday, said that he believes the players were coerced into signing the letter, unaware of what the contents of the letter had in it. So it's a bit of a drama in terms of the Samoan players. There's some big names in there. The World Cup's on at the end of this year. They had 34 players actually physically sign, though, current and former players. So, yeah, interesting situation unfolding, but clearly Matt's a great coach. Laurie, as I said, he was your assistant at Origin. You know that firsthand. But it would seem that there is some in and around the Samoan Rugby League who believe that the results haven't been great and that Matt's methods perhaps need to improve. That's not my words. That's their words.
What is happening with Jerome Hughes? I mean, he's off contract at the end of the year. We know that with the Melbourne Storm, and Melbourne had obviously looked to keep him and want to keep him. But there's some talk around the Warriors now that they're losing Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, interested in him, and they want to play him as fullback.
Yeah, well, you've just pretty much said what I was going to say, Laurie. Thanks for that.
So is that what
no,
you're hearing
it's
as
true,
well?
Though, mate. It is true. Look, his manager hopes to have some suitors by the end of the week so they can start to move forward a bit in terms of negotiations. The Warriors haven't come forward officially and said we want him, so that's still debatable. But if you speak to those in and around the Melbourne Storm, they think that the Warriors will have a crack at him. He is a halfback, Loz, as you know, but he has played fullback as a kid.
Yep.
And clearly there's a spot there with two of us as Sheck moving on that could be filled by Jerome Hughes. So, look, it'd cost a bit of money, but he would be a great player. And if the Warriors want a high-profile, in inverted commas, player to replace Roger, he may well be the man.
Bulldog, how much does this off-field stuff in regards to the preseason in your time covering the NRL impact these teams come game time? So we're seeing, you know, let's talk about the Dragons or the Broncos, for example. There's, even though, you know, last year's over and they had their grief through the season, even throughout this preseason, we're still seeing these teams have chaos off the field. How does that impact this season? Does it play a part in the way they start? Does it play a part in, again, if you think about covering the NRL over time, can you just about write these teams off because of what happens before a ball's kicked?
You're referring to player recruitment, Clark?
No, I'm really anything like, you know, issues with, you know, police, for example, or a scandal, or, you know, a player leaving any sort of issue that, you know, these teams are still, you know, front page of the paper for what's going on off the field before a ball's even been kicked in the season.
Oh, 100%. I think it can play a huge role in how you prepare. I think the Panthers had the scandal at the start of 18, didn't they, Loz? And that pretty much blew away their season. They never really recovered from that. And they pinpointed that moment as the moment that their season fell apart before a ball was even kicked.
Mm.
But any drama, I think, can impact in terms of morale, in terms of support, in terms of players getting on with each other, in terms of coaches being distracted, CEOs having to step in and fix problems. It's probably the hardest part, and again, I'd go back to you, Laurie, with a coach is sometimes just managing the roster just as much as he's coaching the football side, and any disaster in and around the early part of the season, I think, can rip the guts out of a team. And you chase your tail from the start.
Yeah, and it can, and it will. And you just see what's happening up there at Brisbane at the moment with the dramas they had at the end of last year. And then with Payne Haas, the situation that he found himself in. Do you think with Payne Haas, the NRL have handled that correctly?
I would have given him more. I think three was light. For the foul and disgusting language that bloke used against coppers, one of which was a female copper, not that that should matter, but I think we all grew up in an era where you treat women with respect. For that to be said, I couldn't believe the language that came out of his mouth. I've interviewed Payne Haas. He seems like a nice, well-mannered young bloke.
Everyone says that. Yeah. Everyone said that.
I was shocked when I read the transcript. Yeah. I really was.
And do you think there's like a switch that's it clicks over with when alcohol's in his system?
It must. Because I doubt whether...
Because everybody is saying they can't believe that language has come out of his mouth because he's not that person at all.
The bloke I interviewed wasn't the bloke that I saw in the paper in terms of quotes. But, look, I think three games was light. I would have doubled that. I know Ken Arthurson, the old ARL boss, he said give him 6 months, which is probably a little excessive. But if you want to be heavy-handed and say, right, this has got to get out of our game. And Payne's had a couple of black marks against his name now. So, you know, he's heading in a direction where he's got to be very, very careful. If there's one more cross, you know, you got to start to think about whether he'll be punted by the Broncos. Will he miss Origin? So he's at that real crossroads in his life, very young, but he's brought that on himself. But in answer to your question, the 50,000 I can live with, but I would have doubled it. I would have gone 6 weeks.
On that, Bulldog, is this an example where someone like Freddie, the New South Wales coach, has made it clear that stuff that happens off the field is still playing a part in regards to selection? But when it becomes a good player or a great player, you got rules for one and rules for others. Because I listened to him yesterday say, no, he's still in contention for Origin, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, I'm a little confused here because it seems to be the case a lot. If you're one of the best, you'll find a way to still select them. If you're a youngster and something like this happens, you just, nah, you're wiped from Origin.
Laurie and I have discussed this before, haven't we? We have a bit of a chuckle. If you're a young kid coming through, you're out. You're the the example.
Yeah.
But if you're a superstar, you seem to get away with more. Freddie's not stupid, though. Clarke, he knows if Payne puts his head down and his backside up and he comes and rips and tears in the first 6 to 8 weeks, he'll want him there for Origin. So Freddie's not going to write him off just yet. He just doesn't do that. And again, I ask you, Loz, same thing when you're in charge. You don't write anyone off, do you? You've got to keep the pool open, have an open mind, and pick the team on the day that you want. You can't be picking players or writing them off beforehand.
That's the way I always operated. But it gets to the stage where that's fine, and you go with the players that you want. But if you lose, all of a sudden, and it's got nothing to do with how you perform, but the perception is you've got too many bad eggs in your team, and that's the reason why you didn't play well, and then all of a sudden your culture gets questioned.
Well, the thing that's confusing, though,
so for me, that is, I look at it and go, well, you know, it's all about what players do, and I understand on the field, and you should never write them off, but if you win, everything's fine. But if you lose, people look at ways of picking your preparation apart, and they bring up the fact that he did something wrong 6 months ago, and that was the end of it because he brings a bad culture into your football team.
But don't come out and make the statement that everything that happens off the field is just as important as on the field, when clearly it's not.
That's exactly right.
If you're going to say it, then
You've got to follow it. Yeah.
So hypothetically, Loz, if you were still in charge of Origin and Payne Haas was playing well, given he's got a few crosses next to his name, would you pick him?
Well,
Or do you want a team of good people as well as good players?
It's hard because sitting here now, it's easy for me to say, no, I wouldn't pick him. All right? It's always easy on the outside.
Of course.
To say no.
Yeah,
but when you're in the hot seat,
you're accountable.
You want to win.
Yeah,
you weigh it all up. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's always easier when you're not involved and you're not sitting in the chair.
Yeah.
But once you're in the chair, and no one cares.
Don't pick him either. Yeah. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I'm confused by, are we making a statement saying, okay, we're picking character, good person on the field, good person off the field, and then. And stick to that. That's all I'm saying. At the end of the day, if all of us have made mistakes as well, Payne Haas, there's his punishment. Whether you agree with it or not, he's gonna serve his time. He's gonna pay his $50K and serve his time. So if my mind is, you've done your time, you deserve a second chance. In this case, it's probably a third chance for him. But I'm saying, why do we in general come out and make a statement saying we want this, and then as soon as it becomes a senior player, the rules of engagement change?
It's so cutthroat, Clarke, isn't it? You just have to have success now.
Yeah.
There's no future. Oh. It's now. And if you make that stand, it's meritorious, but you lose.
Freddie's off contract with the New South Wales team this year.
He's winning. So he's doing whatever he can to win.
I want to win.
Yeah.
So if Payne Haas comes back and just blitzes it, it's going to be hard for him to say, well, no, given what you did previously, I can't select you.
Mm. How many clubs, Laurie, have got rid of players for poor behaviour and then they go sign somewhere else within 24 hours? Yeah. So you're trying to make a stance for the good of the game, and he walks down the road and signs another 3-year deal. Yeah. So, and then the existing club that had the player is the losing club, albeit they've taken the meritorious stance.
Dean Bulldog Richie's here with us in the studio.
Oh, my God.
Bulldog, want to talk Manly. I've had a couple of texts this morning about Tommy Turbo, and so much of their success has been tied to the fitness of Tom Trbojevic. How's he faring heading towards round one, and what is the contingency plan should Tommy go down again?
Yeah, Mido, he's going really, really well. He's confident. He's happy. He's in a good place mentally. Physically, he's very good. He's been to Melbourne. He's been around the country getting the best possible treatment. So he'll go into round one full of confidence. No doubt, like any sportsman, I guess there would be some little nagging doubt in the back of his mind as to whether the hamstring is 100% again. But look, I can tell you that Des Hasler bought Jason Saab from the Dragons as a winger. He will play wing. But if Tommy goes down, and we hope he doesn't, but if he does go down, Saab will be groomed as the substitute fullback. So they do have a contingency plan. Last year, I think Brendan Elliott might have gone back, Laurie, and I think he got injured as well. So they were just on their backsides, Manly, in terms of injuries. But Saab will be the one to go in there. If Tommy gets injured or when Turbo hopefully goes to Origin.
How is Kieran Foran travelling, by the way?
Good.
Yep.
He's going really good. He's enjoying being back, Laurie. There's familiar faces there. He's back with Cherry Evans again.
Do we know where they've got him?
No.
Sort of going to be playing yet? No.
Don't know yet. Now, I've asked Des a few times. He's been as cagey as Des can be. Look, it'll either be at dummy half or off the bench. Look, I think at Manly, Des loves Foran and he knows he can get the best out of Foran, and Foran's consistently said that Des brings the best out in him. Des is also a little bit cautious about giving Schuster, the bloke you mentioned in your power rankings, Laurie, Josh Schuster, the run that he deserves, because there is a fear that if he keeps pushing him down the pecking order, he may leave. Mm. I don't think he will leave. He's happy at Manly, and he will be at Manly long term. But it's a juggling act being a coach, as you know. You want the team that you know can win and a team that's hardened, but if you keep ignoring the kids, then the kids do get restless. And kids of today, as we know, who want everything now.
Exactly. And on that, how do you expect the Matt Burton situation to finish up?
I don't know, Middo. I think they'll probably let him go if he agitates enough. Look, he doesn't want to be there now, clearly. And I heard Laurie yesterday say that they should keep him for depth. And Laurie's spot on. They're on the verge of a premiership. But having said that, if he doesn't want to be there and he's sort of kicking stones at training, I don't think he would. But, you know, if that is the case, then I just can't see the point of him being there. So it'll unfold. But if I'm a betting man, I'll throw $5 on him going to the Bulldogs.
Bulldog, is this one of the things that was spoken about last season in and around having Trent Barrett sign that deal with the Bulldogs to become head coach while he was at the Panthers? Is this everyone's fear actually come true, that there was some stuff happening behind closed doors with certain players in and around, you know, moving forward when Trent becomes head coach at the Bulldogs? And do you think this is a big reason as to why Burton wants out?
There's no doubt Baz was negotiating with players when he was a Penrith assistant coach.
Yeah.
And I think when Trent walked through those doors every morning, he was very professional and it was Penrith all the way. When Trent walked out those doors, I'm sure on the way home, he was making phone calls and negotiating with players. That's totally understandable. He's got a first grade coaching job to walk into. He wasn't going to walk in November the 1st with a roster he didn't know anything about. He was working hard to get him there. So Burton was one he targeted very early. He knew that Luai and Cleary would be the existing halves, and Burton was the one he wanted. And, I think Burton will play very good football under Trent, and I think they get on really well off the field. And I think that the Bulldogs are on the verge of, you know, pushing right up the table. I'm not talking premierships, clearly, but by the end of next year, when they get Burton and Ado Carr, I think they'll be hunting around the top eight, top six even.
How big a test is this for Ivan Cleary? Because, again, Penrith have so much success last year, and all I hear is Trent Barrett, brilliant attacking coach, and he was the reason for that. Ivan Cleary's had a lot of people criticise his coaching technique and style over the years, particularly Tigers fans. What's it look like if the Panthers, with a great squad once again, don't have as good a year this year?
I guess time will tell, Clarkie, won't it? If they fall away badly, then I guess people will say, how big a role did Trent Barrett play? Look, Ivan's a good coach. He took the Warriors to the grand final in 2011. He took Penrith to the grand final in 2020. So clearly he can coach. But yeah, how much does an assistant play? Mm. How much influence did Trent Barrett have over the attack? We'll find out. If they fall away, no doubt questions will be asked of Ivan as to, did Trent Barrett play a more significant role in that team reaching the grand final that we're giving Trent Barrett credit for?
This has come in from Craig the Truckee. Bulldog, will Penrith announce the signing of Crichton and Luai soon? Craig the Truckee.
Yeah, I think so,
Loz. Yep. Yeah. I know the Crichton contract situation's been meandering along now for months, and there were suggestions that he agreed to a deal, then he got a new manager, then the new manager wanted an increase. Given that Crichton made the Origin squad, made a grand final, and his value was increasing with every game, and he is a genuine superstar, in my eyes, Stephen Crichton. And the Bulldogs were, or possibly are, still in their hunting round. There was a suggestion about the Roosters, although they did deny that, but I don't think Stephen Crichton will be going anywhere. But they just can't seem, at this point, to nail the deal down. But who knows? I think it's sooner rather than later that it will be announced that he'll stay at the Panthers. But again, it's rugby league laws. You never know. Ryan Papenhuyzen, two guys, just quickly. He's under contract until the end of 2022. Of course, played Origin this year. And I think you'll find, very informally, they have started to look at upgrading and extending his contract down there. So he's still got a couple of years to go. Exceptional player. And they don't want him going anywhere. So it'll be a while before they announce anything. But informally, they have just said, look, come in, sit down. Let us know what you're thinking. And they can just gently start the ball rolling in terms of keeping him down there long term.
Great to have you in, Bulldog.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.